definition over the other, putting multiple definitions, and you can use them interchangeably. In both cases, you'll tend to remember one definition best, which then becomes the anchor point for new definitions. With that anchor in place, it's very easy to connect a new concept to the first one. Oh, chocolate bars use the same word as normal bars. Synonyms. For your first 625 words, don't learn synonyms. You don't need them. No one is going to stop you on the street and ask you for a synonym of plate, and you have enough to do already. If you encounter a few different translations for a word you want to know, pick your favorite and move on. When you come back to synonyms in the future, bear in mind that no two words are exactly alike. Policeman and cop might refer to the same person, but these words differ in their formality. While you can eat off of a plate or a dish, you probably don't know anyone with a metal dish in their heads. Once you have some grammar and a sizable vocabulary under your belt, you can begin to learn the subtle differences between similar words, but until then, learn one basic word and move on. Every once in a while, you'll have to learn a synonym early in your studies. You may learn one word, dish, and find that your grammar book or your class uses a synonym, plate, instead. You can learn them by having one flashcard that simply says plate on the front, with a picture of a plate on the back, and another flashcard that says dish in the front, with a picture of a dish on the back. It can even be the same dish. You may then want a third flashcard with a picture of a plate or dish on the front side. And, like our multiple definition scenario, you have two options for the back side of this card. You can either make it with both words, plate and dish, on the back, or with your favorite word, let's say dish. Remember that any correct answer, plate or dish, is correct. You don't need to sit there and list synonyms for your pictures. Choose your favorite backside and run with it. But in general, avoid synonyms as long as you can. Category cards. While most of the 625 words are simple nouns, like cat, banana, man, several are category words: animal, fruit, person. Learn these by combining two or three simple words. If you're learning the German word Tier, animal, then you can have the following two flashcards. The first will have the word Tier on the front side, and on the back will list a series of animals with a series of pictures. You can have a Katze, a cat, and an Elefant, an elephant. The second flashcard is going to contain those same examples, Katze, cat, and elephant, and you just list a series of examples, and on the back side you have the word Tier. If you do this, how do you know that Tier means animal, rather than, say, mammal or organic material that is sometimes gray on the outside? Remember that you are the one making these cards. You're choosing the collection of words that says animal to you. If you decide that animal is best represented by a pig, a fish, and a goat, there's no way you're going to forget what those pictures stand for. You're not going to suddenly think, pig, fish, goat? Well, this must mean objects smaller than a cow that are made of meat. You're going to think animal. You can use this strategy even for abstract words like noun. Well, that's cat, banana, man. And verb, to kiss, to eat, to run. This will enable you to do some fancy footwork when dealing with very similar looking words, e.g. to kiss versus a kiss, as we'll soon see. Words with easily confounded images. Suppose you wanted to learn the German words for daughter, Tochter, and niece, Nichte. Both of these girls may look the same, but each word means something quite different. You need more information than a picture alone can provide, but you don't know enough German to write a full definition, like the daughter of my brother or sister. You have two good options. You can add a personal note to these cards, your niece's name, for example, or you can add a short German clue using words from your 625 list. Since daughters have mothers and fathers, and nieces have aunts and uncles, you could use the word Mutter, mother, or Tante, aunt, for help. First, I'll learn Nichte, niece, using my niece's name, Eliana. We'll use two flashcards here. The first one is going to have a picture of a girl, as you'd use for any other word, but in this case, underneath that picture, I'm going to include the name of my niece, Eliana. On the backside, die Nichte, the niece, the female niece. Flashcard number 2 is just going to have the word Nichte on the front, as with any other word. But on the backside, I'm going to have a picture of a girl, and underneath that, my niece's name, Eliana. Next, let's talk about learning the word Tochter, daughter, with the help of another German word, Mutter, mother, which I've taken from my list of 625 common words. Flashcard 1, you get a picture of a mother and a daughter, and you say Mutter plus blank. On the backside, you're going to have Tochter, or die Tochter, the female daughter. Flashcard number 2 is going to have, as with any other word, Tochter, just the word on the front side of the card. But on the back, you're going to have, again, a picture, and then Mutter plus blank, Tochter. In both of these cases, we're making simple definitions, using a picture and a familiar name, or a new word. We could do the same thing for to kiss, küssen, and a kiss, kuss, by sticking the German words for verb, Verb, and noun, Substantiv, under a picture of two people kissing. We could stick the German word for border under a picture of a beach to get coastline, or write the word Atlantic under a picture of an ocean to distinguish it from a sea. As you learn more vocabulary, you'll be able to define more and more words using this technique. With a touch of grammar, you'll be able to write out full definitions of your words and learn to understand abstract words in terms of the words you know already. This ability grows and grows, and eventually you'll find a fully formed language hiding out in your brain. For now, begin at the beginning, with simple words, straightforward flashcards, and an SRS to get those words into your head. In 1 to 3 months, you'll be ready to tackle grammar head-on, without needing to learn vocabulary, pronunciation, and spelling at the same time. There's one last flashcard type you may need, which can help you keep track of any mnemonic images you might want to use. Mnemonic imagery. These cards are not vocabulary, so don't worry about the 3 tracks, bonus points, and all that jazz. You'll just use these cards to help you keep track of mnemonic imagery. You won't want to accidentally explode some poor feminine noun when it should be burning instead. If you're just using mnemonic imagery for noun genders, you'll only need to memorize 2 or 3 images. This might be fairly easy to remember even without flashcards. Still, we have this lovely SRS, and it would be a shame not to use it whenever it can make your job easier. Later, if you decide to make mnemonic images for every spelling, preposition, and verb conjugation in your language, as discussed in Chapter 5, you'll definitely want to make these flashcards. Mnemonic imagery can prove addictive, and if you get hooked, flashcards can help sort out which image is which. There are 2 basic card types for learning mnemonics, and they're relatively simple. Card type number 1 asks, what's the mnemonic for blank? For instance, what's the mnemonic for feminine nouns? On the front side, you're going to have that exact question, what's the mnemonic for feminine nouns, with an example. For example, une cage, a cage, and include a picture of that example word, a cage. On the back side of that flashcard, you're going to write out burning, with pictures of fire. The other flashcard is the reverse of that. You're going to have the question, what's this mnemonic signify? And a picture of fire. On the backside of that flashcard, you're going to write out, gender is feminine, with an example or two. For instance, une cage, a cage, with a picture of a cage. Or une table, a table. The third gallery, using and learning your first sentences. Cards for Chapter 5. In this section, we're going to play with sentences. You'll learn how to use them to learn abstract words, to learn how words change in different contexts, and to learn the ways that word order affects meaning. And you'll do it all without a trace of English on any of your flashcards. Think of it like a portable language immersion program that you've built yourself. There are 3 main categories of cards here: new words, word forms, and word orders. You can use these cards to memorize every last bit of information from any sentence. We'll go through them in detail and then cover a few special scenarios, how to deal with declension charts, how to handle corrected writing, and how to make easy cards a bit more challenging. Once you start using these cards, you'll find that they're very efficient. As soon as you learn where to stick a verb in one sentence, You'll get a feel for where it belongs in almost every vaguely similar sentence. You don't need to learn anything twice. This puts you on a constant quest for new, surprising constructions to learn, which is 1,000 times more satisfying than a workbook full of boring grammar drills. Sentence play. Get your information. By its very nature, a sentence connects words, grammar, and stories. All you're going to do is memorize those connections in bite-sized pieces. Ideally, you'll find all of the following information in your grammar book or dictionary. But if you're missing something, then don't worry about it. Skip over it and learn it later. Your only goal is to stick a bunch of information into your head. You don't need to know everything. You'll need the following. 1. A good sentence, phrase, or dialogue. You want to find a sentence, a short phrase, two apples, or a snippet of dialogue. Where are you going? I'm going to Disneyland. With some new content. It should have some new words, some new word forms, and or a surprising word order. Your resource for this is your grammar book. It is full of quality sentences and dialogues, and in the beginning, almost all of those sentences will contain a lot of new, interesting content. Use those first. Later, once you've learned some grammar, you'll start getting most of your sentences from Google Images or your own corrected writing samples. 2. The story. What's going on in this sentence or dialogue? When might you encounter this situation? Your resource for this, again, is your grammar book. It will give you translations or supply you with enough contextual information that you can figure out what's going on. E.g., a conversation in which Susie asks, "Comment t'appelles-tu?" and John Smith responds, "Je m'appelle John Smith," is probably one in which Susie's asking John his name, and he tells it to her. 3. The chunks. What does each word mean individually? What role does each word play in this sentence? If needed, how do you pronounce each word? Your resources for this include your grammar book, a dictionary, and Forvo.com, if needed for recordings. Here's where you might not find all the information you'd ideally want. That's fine. If you're baffled by the role of one word, skip it and learn it later. And one quick note about pronunciation. By now, you're going to have the pronunciation of 625 words under your belt. In most languages, this will give you a pretty accurate intuition about the pronunciation of every word. So pronunciation probably isn't going to be a huge problem. Feel free to skip getting recordings if you're confident that you're pronouncing everything correctly. Whenever you're a little unsure, look it up in your dictionary or at Forvo.com. And if it's not what you expect to hear, then add that recording to your cards. 4. The base forms. If you encountered these words in a dictionary, would they look the same? If not, what's the dictionary entry for each word look like? Resources for this include your grammar book and a dictionary. You might not always know whether or not you're looking at the base form of a certain word, and that's fine. Just assume that it is. Learn it like you would learn any other new word. 5. Pictures. What are some good pictures for this sentence? Can you use a few different pictures to help you remember the meanings of each individual word? Your resource for this is Google Images, or if you're using a Leitner box, your own imagination. In general, just search for images in English. It's faster and easier than searching in your target language. Use either images.google.com, which lets you see more images at once, or tinyurl.com/basicimage. Which will give you images that are smaller and easier to copy-paste. 6. Personal connections, which are optional. In my experience, personal connections are harder to find for complex vocabulary and grammatical constructions. I don't have any particularly memorable encounters with the word when. Still, when appropriate, you may know a particularly caring person, for instance, then feel free to play around with personal connections in your words. In practice, you'll find that you don't need personal connections nearly as much as you did in the beginning. Grammar ties words together, which makes your words much easier to memorize. Collecting all of this information can take time, usually a few minutes per sentence, but it supplies you with a ton of flashcards. When I'm working on grammar, I usually average around 1 minute per flashcard when all is said and done. The research and construction process feels a lot like a puzzle game. You're trying to figure out how many different things you can teach yourself with one single sentence. You get a feel for it pretty quickly, and then it starts getting exciting, because all those words you've already learned start turning into a real language before your eyes. Make your cards. Intensive track. New words or word forms, 2 to 4 cards per word. Word order, 1 card per word. The normal track. New words or word forms, 2 to 3 cards per word. Word order, 1 card per word. Refresher track. New words, word forms, and word order. Just 1 card per word. We're going to be playing around with this sentence. He lives in New York City. New words. We're going to be learning the word in. Card type 1. Which word fits in the blank? E.g., he lives blank New York City. In this case, the answer is in. Card type number 2. What's a sentence or phrase that includes this word? For instance, what's a sentence or phrase that includes the word in? The answer might be, he lives in New York City. Card type number 3. Which word fits into this other blank? For instance, the cat blank the hat. And the answer might be in. And card type number 4. How do you spell this word? For instance, in. He lives in New York City is spelled I. N. Our next category, word forms. We're going to be learning the word form lives, a form of the verb to live. Card type number 1. Which word fits in the blank? He blank in New York City, in parentheses, to live. The answer is lives. Card type number 2. What's a sentence with the word lives? What's the base word form? An example sentence would be, he lives in New York City. In the base word form, to live. Card type number 3. Which word fits into this other blank? No one blank forever. In parentheses, to live. And the answer in that case would be no one lives forever. And card type number 4. How do you spell this word? For instance, he lives in New York City is spelled L-I-V-E-S. Our last category is word order. We'll learn where to put the word he in a sentence. Card type number 1, where do you put he in lives in New York City? The answer would be, he lives in New York City. Let's discuss all of these categories one by one. New word cards. Type 1. Which word fits in the blank? There might be a few different words that fit into the blank of your example sentence. Ideally, you're looking for sentences that are relatively unambiguous. For instance, he lives blank New York is better than blank is good. Although, with the help of pictures, you can make even the most ambiguous of sentences clear. Picture of delicious turkey is good. Still, you'll occasionally run into situations where you come up with a perfectly fine answer that doesn't match the back of your card. And this is fine. Remember, any correct answer counts as a correct answer. So for this first example flashcard, we're going to have one sentence with a blank in it. He lives blank New York City with a picture of New York City. And on the back of that flashcard, you're going to have the word in, and if needed, a recording of that word. You'll use this card in all 3 tracks, the intensive, normal, and refresher tracks, and let's talk about the essential facts and bonus points. Essential facts. You need to remember all of these. 1. Pronunciation. What word fits in the blank? Can you say it out loud? In this case, you'll want to remember the word in. And 2. Gender, if your language uses it. If this word is a noun, what's the gender of the word? Next, bonus points. If you can think of some of these when you review, you're going to have an easier time remembering next time. Bonus point number 1, spelling. Do you remember how to spell this word? In our case, I-N. And then bonus point number 2, personal connection. If this word isn't a totally abstract functional word, can you think of the first or last time you encountered it, or an example of this word that's relevant to your life? New word cards, type 2. What's a sentence or phrase that includes this word? There are an infinite number of sentences that include your word. If you can come up with any of them, you win. In all likelihood, though, you'll just come up with the one on the back side of your card. Note, that you don't need to reproduce an entire sentence perfectly word for word. A relevant fragment of that sentence, in New York, will work just fine. Let's talk about how this flashcard looks. On the front side, you're just going to have your target word, in our case, in. And on the back side, you're going to have an example sentence, and you'll reuse the same one we've been using. He lives blank New York City with a picture of New York City. If needed, include a recording of the word. You're going to be using this card on the intensive track and the normal track. Let's talk about essential facts and bonus points. Essential facts. You need to remember all of these. Essential fact number one, a sentence or a phrase. What does this word mean? Can you think of a sentence or a phrase that would use it? If you can remember in New York or a cat in a hat, then mark yourself as correct. Essential fact number two, pronunciation. Can you say this word correctly out loud? If you say in, mark yourself as incorrect. And essential fact number three, gender, if your language uses it. If this word is a noun, what's the gender of the word? Next, bonus points. If you can think of some of these when you review, you'll have an easier time remembering next time. Other meanings. Can you think of any other sentences or phrases that would use this word in a different way? And two, personal connection. If this word isn't a totally abstract functional word, can you think of the first or last time you encountered it, or an example of this word that's relevant to your life? New word cards, type 3. Which word fits into this other blank? This card is identical to the first card we talked about. You're just adding another sentence, ideally with a slightly different use of the same word. This is how you'll learn multiple definitions for a single word. If you wanted to learn all 464 definitions of the word set, you'd do it with these types of cards, or with these slightly expanded versions in the next gallery section. I blank the table. I set the table. I bought a blank of silverware. My TV blank broke, and so on. Every time you do this, your word set gets a little more nuanced and multidimensional, and you'll have an easier time remembering it in all contexts. You'll find new sentences for old words in your grammar book, in your dictionary, or in Google Images, which we discuss in detail in Chapter 6. These cards look exactly the same as the first ones we mentioned, just with a new example sentence. You might have a cat blank a box with a picture of a cat in a box. And again, on the back side, you're going to have the word in, potentially with a recording of that card. You're going to be using this card on the intensive and normal tracks, and the essential facts and bonus points are the same as in card 1. The essential things you need to remember are how to pronounce the word and, if needed, the gender. And for bonus, you should remember how to spell the word and, if relevant, a personal connection. New word cards, type 4. How do you spell this word? It is extraordinarily unlikely that you'll need these cards, unless you're learning Japanese or Chinese, in which case you'll use them to learn your kanji or hanzi characters. In most other languages, once you've learned your first 625 words, you'll tend to pick up proper spelling automatically from the other three flashcard types. Still, every once in a while, you might find an occasion to use one of these cards. Hungarian, for instance, has some lovely, ridiculously long words that can be difficult to remember, like fényképezőgép, camera. If some of these words cause you trouble, then add spelling cards as needed. This card looks like he lives blank New York City, with a picture of New York City, and a recording of the word in. And you'll use this card on the intensive track only. The essential facts for this card are simply the spelling. Do you remember how to spell this word? And for bonus points, can you remember the gender of the word, if relevant? And can you remember a personal connection, again, if relevant? Using these four card types, you'll be able to memorize practically any word you see, regardless of how abstract it is. Usually, if you run into problems, it's only because the example sentences from your grammar book are too ambiguous to teach you a word. E.g., blank is good won't work very well for the word caring. For now, skip over those words. You'll be able to learn them with the tools discussed in Chapter 6, with Google Images, monolingual dictionaries, and self-directed writing. Next, we'll talk about word form cards. Word form cards, type 1. Which word fits in the blank? Word form cards are basically identical to new word cards. The main difference is that instead of he blank in New York City, you're giving yourself a hint in the form of the basic form of the word, the one you'd see in your dictionary. He blank in New York City, and in parentheses you'll include to live. This makes these cards significantly easier to remember and helps to teach you how your language plays around with the forms of its words in order to change the meaning of a sentence, the difference between a cat and cats, for instance. So this first flashcard again has a sentence with a blank in it. He blank in New York City, and in parentheses you'll include the base form, to live, with a picture of New York City. On the back side of this flashcard, you'll include the word lives, and if you'd like, you can include some declension charts or information about the word. For instance, he, she, it lives, but I, you, we, or they live. And if you're having a hard time with pronunciation, include a recording of the word. You'll be using this card on the intensive, normal, and refresher tracks. Let's talk about essential facts and bonus points. The essential facts, you need to remember all of these. 1. Pronunciation. What word fits in the blank? Can you say it out loud? Can you remember the word lives? And 2. Gender, if your language uses it. If this word is a noun, what's the gender of the word? Next, bonus points. If you can think of some of these when you review, you'll have an easier time remembering next time. Bonus point number 1, spelling. Do you remember how to spell this word? L-I-V-E-S. Bonus point 2, other forms. Are there other forms of this word that you're aware of? When would you see them? And while it's not necessary, I do find it very helpful to list a few of these other forms on the back of my word form cards. In our case with lives, you may include the word live or to live. Personal connection. If this word isn't a totally abstract word, can you think of the first or last time you encountered it, or an example of this word that's relevant to your life? Word form cards type 2. What's a sentence or phrase that includes this word? Like we discussed in the new word cards, any sentence fragment will work here. In addition, you're trying to remember the base word form of the word you see. I.e., if you see lives, you're trying to remember the base form to live. In this example, we run into another layer of complexity. If we see the word lives, how do we know whether this is a verb, as in to live, or a noun, as in a life? And we don't. Fortunately, our old trusty rule, any correct answer is always correct, is still in effect. If you see L-I-V-E-S and think cats have 9 lives instead of he lives in New York City, then so much the better. You'll now remember both of those sentences the next time you see this flashcard. So let's talk about what this flashcard looks like. On the front side, you're going to have just the word, L-I-V-E-S, with no other context. And on the back side, you're going to include a lot of information. 1, an example sentence, he blank in New York City. 2, a picture of New York City. And then 3, perhaps other word forms, like he, she, it lives, and I, you, we, they live. And if you need help with pronunciation, include a recording of that word, lives. You'll be using this card on the intensive track and the normal track. Let's talk about essential facts and bonus points. Essential facts. You need to remember all of these. Essential fact number 1, a sentence or a phrase. What does this word mean? Can you think of a sentence or phrase that would use it? If you can remember, he lives in New York City, cats have 9 lives, that counts. Next, pronunciation. Can you say this word out loud correctly? And 3, gender, if your language uses it. If the word is a noun, what's the gender of the word? Next, bonus points. If you can think of some of these when you review, you'll have an easier time remembering next time. The first of those is other meanings. Can you think of any other sentences or phrases that would use this word in a different way? Next, other forms. Are there other forms of this word that you're aware of? When would you see them? And then 3, personal connection. If this word isn't a totally abstract function word, can you think of the first or last time you encountered this thing? Or an example of this word that's relevant to your life? Word form cards, type 3. Which word fits into this other blank? This is the same old story. You'll find that you won't need very many of these. Card types 1 and 2 will do a fine job of teaching you new word forms on their own. Still, if you ever feel uncertain about a particularly complex word form, I have been living in Paris since 2004. You have been drinking lactose-free milk for 10 years. Then add cards like these until you feel more comfortable. These cards look exactly the same as card type number one. You're going to have a sentence with a blank, for instance, no one blank forever, with perhaps a picture of a spy, and then in parentheses the base word form, to live. On the back side of that card, you'll include the word lives, and then perhaps other word forms like he, she, it lives, I, you, we, they live, a recording of the word, etc. You'll be using these cards on the intensive track and the normal track. And the essential facts and bonus points are the same as card type number one. You need to remember the pronunciation of that word. You need to remember lives. And if your language uses gender, you'll need to remember that as well. And for bonus, if you could remember how to spell that word correctly, other forms of the word, to live, for instance, and a personal connection, those all count as bonuses. Word form cards type four. How do you spell this word? Again, you probably won't need these cards unless you're learning Japanese or Chinese. But if you do, here they are. You're going to have a sentence, he blank in New York City, and a recording, lives, along with a picture of that sentence, a picture of New York City. And on the back side of that card, you're going to have just your word, lives, L-I-V-E-S. The essential fact here is the spelling. You need to be able to remember L-I-V-E-S. And as a bonus, if you can remember the gender of your word and perhaps a personal connection with living, those are both bonus points. Word order cards. Where does this word go? Word order cards teach you the order of a sentence. Use as many as you need. In the beginning, try using two per sentence. Just pick a couple of words at random. That should be enough to teach you the precise order of the words. Within a few weeks, you'll get a feel for how these cards work, and you'll be able to use them more sparingly. Word order cards look like this. On the front side, you're going to have a picture of New York City and this excerpt of a sentence, lives in New York City. And then you're going to have the missing word underneath, he. On the back side of that card, you're going to have the whole sentence reassembled. He lives in New York City. In terms of essential facts and bonus points, there is only one essential fact. You need to be able to reassemble that sentence in the correct order. Where does the word he belong? It belongs at the beginning of he lives in New York City. And there are no bonus points. This card is used in all three tracks, the intensive, the normal, and the refresher track. Four special scenarios. Dealing with declension charts, dealing with short phrases, eliminating clues, and what to do when you're stumped. All of these cards are just variations on the same themes we've been using, a fill-in-the-blank sentence, a picture, and a missing word. Mostly, this is just an excuse to show you a few more examples. So enjoy. Dealing with declension charts. Let's return to our tired old friend. He lives in New York City. We just learned lives in this way. He blank in New York City, with to live in parentheses. Now, this assumes that we already know the form to live, and we're just learning how to conjugate it. But how do we learn to live in the first place? Well, we'll make a special sort of new word card. It would look like this. On the front side, you'd have a sentence with a blank, like he blank in New York City. But under that, you would have an additional little instruction. Verb. Infinitive. Then on the back side of that card, you can include to live. He lives in New York City. Including instructions like that can help direct your attention towards particular forms of a word. Alternatively, you could make a different kind of fill-in-the-blank and copy the format of your word form cards from earlier. He lives in New York City can go on the front of a card, and under that infinitive is blank. And on the back side of that card, you can include to live. Both sorts of cards will teach you the same thing. I prefer the first version of including a little instruction asking for the infinitive because it's a little more challenging, and it forces me to master all of my base forms. Short phrases. What do you do with a dialogue like this? Waiter, here's your coffee. Customer, thank you. Waiter, you're welcome. In this case, you're welcome is just the thing you say after thank you. It doesn't have much to do with welcoming someone. So when you learn a phrase like this, you have a choice. You can either learn each word individually, like this. Here's your coffee. Thank you. Your blank. Or you can learn them all at once, like this. Here's your coffee. Thank you. Blank. Either option works fine. Personally, I prefer to learn words individually whenever I can. It's easier to remember one word at a time, and if I can turn a short phrase into several flashcards instead of just a couple, then I'll tend to learn more from it. Eliminating clues. Sometimes your example sentences provide clues about your word that make your resultant flashcards too easy. In Russian, for instance, a single adjective, a red traffic light, can tell you much more than the color of your traffic light. It can tell you the precise role, number, and gender of a missing word in your sentence. You can get a small taste of this in English. Suppose you were learning the word automatic with the sentence, "She was holding an blank rifle." The "an" in this sentence gives you a big clue about the following word. It starts with a vowel. In practice, you might find that this flashcard feels too easy. So take the clue away. Instead of having "she was holding an blank rifle," just test yourself on "she was holding a slash an blank rifle." When you're stumped. Sometimes you'll run into a grammatical construction and you won't have any idea how to teach it to yourself. You might not be able to figure out whether to make a new word card, a word form card, a word order card, or all three. Alternatively, you may have already made flashcards for a given grammatical rule, but you'd like more reinforcement. Perhaps someone found and corrected a mistake on something you wrote. You just want a little more practice, and you don't want to go through the whole new word, word form, word order rigmarole. In either of these cases, turn your sentence into a basic, nondescript, fill-in-the-blank test with a picture or two. If you're learning a construction like "was driving" in "he was driving to Paris when they called," you can just have a fill-in-the-blank of "he blank to Paris when they called," with a picture of a guy driving in a car. Use these kinds of cards whenever you're not quite sure what to do. In practice, they're slightly more difficult to remember than new word, word form, or word order cards, but you'll be able to memorize them without too much trouble. Teaching yourself grammar without using English is something of an improvisatory art. You'll be able to use these cards to learn almost anything, but from time to time, you may run into something totally unexpected. Don't be afraid to try out new flashcard designs and see what works. They're just flashcards. Write whatever you want on them, and whenever possible, throw in a picture. The fourth gallery. One last set of vocabulary cards. Chapter 6. In this section, we're only going to talk about one thing, learning the last bits of your vocabulary with the help of a monolingual dictionary. Since you're invariably going to run into a few words that are difficult to define by context alone, words like honest or fascinating, you need to learn how to add definitions to your flashcards. The language game. Get your information. To make these cards, you'll want a good example sentence or two, a good concise definition, and a picture to help you remember. 1. A good example sentence. Look for an example sentence that includes a few words you know already and a few words you don't. That way, you'll pick up a few new words passively. Resources. Your resources for this include Google Images inside of Google Translate, as discussed in the beginning of Chapter 6, your own writing, corrected at langaid.com or italki.com, or your grammar book. 2. A good, concise definition. Try to find a definition that's less than 10 words long, or just use a short excerpt of the definition. You don't want to have to read an essay about your word every time you review your flashcards. Your resource for this is your trusty monolingual dictionary. If you use a dictionary online, stick it into Google Translate. That way, you'll be able to start using your dictionary much earlier and learn faster. 3. Pictures. If you're using Google Images to find example sentences, then they already come with pictures. Awesome. If you're using some other sources, then search for images in English to save time. And your resource here is Google Images, or if you're using a Leitner box, your own imagination. Expect to spend around 2 to 3 minutes per word. You're exposing yourself to a lot of material, a bunch of example sentences, subtle definitions, pictures, and so on. Have fun exploring. Each word you learn here will boost your passive vocabulary by around 3 to 5 additional words and teach you a bunch of grammar in the process. Make your cards. Intensive track, 2 to 4 card types per word. Normal track, 2 to 3 card types per word. Refresher track, 1 card type per word. We'll play around with the word honest. Card type 1. Which word fits in the blank? He was an blank man. Honest. Card type 2. What's a sentence or phrase that includes this word? The word honest. For instance, he was an honest man. Card type 3. Which word fits into this other blank? It was an blank mistake. An honest mistake. Or card type 4. How do you spell this word? He was an honest man. Spelled H-O-N-E-S-T. Let's discuss all of these in depth. Card type 1. Which word fits in the blank? Now that you're adding definitions to your words, there's not much room for ambiguity. Every fill-in-the-blank will only have one correct answer. If you think you're looking at a synonym for a word you've learned already, then look deeper into your monolingual dictionary. You will almost always discover some tiny difference between so-called synonyms. And now's your chance to find that difference and indicate it on your flashcards. Card type 1 looks like this. On the front side, you're going to have a sentence with a blank and a picture. He was an blank man, with a picture of, let's say, Abraham Lincoln. The difference here is that you're going to include a definition also on the front side. Here, for instance, adjective. You don't lie, cheat, or steal. On the back side, as normal, you're going to include your word, honest. And if needed, although you probably won't need it at this stage, a recording of the word honest. You'll be using this card for the intensive, normal, and refresher tracks. Now let's talk about essential facts and bonus points. Essential facts, you'll need to remember all of these. 1. Pronunciation. What word fits in the blank, and can you say it out loud? You should be able to say the word honest. And 2. Gender, if your language uses it. If this word is a noun, what's the gender of the word? Next, bonus points. If you can think of some of these when you review, you'll have an easier time remembering next time. Bonus point number 1, spelling. Can you remember how to spell honest? H-O-N-E-S-T. And 2, personal connections. If this word isn't a totally abstract function word, can you think of the last or first time you encountered it? Or an example that's relevant to your life. If you have a family member that's particularly honest, for instance, that might be a good personal connection here. Card type 2. What's a sentence or phrase that includes this word? You don't need to remember the precise definition for this card. As long as you can think of any typical use for this word, you win, and you should mark yourself as correct. This flashcard looks similar to previous cards we've discussed. On the front card, you're just going to have your word without any other context, honest. And on the back side, you're going to include a lot of information. An example sentence, he was an honest man, a picture of that example sentence, for instance, Abraham Lincoln, and your definition, adjective, you don't lie, cheat, or steal. And if needed, a recording. You'll be using this card on the intensive and normal tracks. In terms of the essential facts and bonus points, the essential facts, the things you need to remember are a sentence or a phrase. What does this word mean? Can you think of a sentence or phrase that might use it? For instance, he was an honest man. The pronunciation, can you say this word out loud correctly? If you say honest, you win. If you say honest, you don't. And 3, gender, if your language uses it. If this word is a noun, what's the gender of the word? Next, bonus points. If you can think of some of these when you review, you'll have an easier time remembering next time. The first bonus point, other meanings. Can you think of any other sentences or phrases that might use this word in a different way? And then personal connection. If this word isn't a totally abstract functional word, can you think of the first or last time you encountered it, or an example of the word that's relevant to your life? Card type 3. Which word fits into this other blank? These cards work best for capturing a different definition or use of a word. Like in it was an honest mistake, adjective, in good faith, without malice. You're going to be making these cards in the exact same way as card type 1. You have a sentence with a blank in it. It was an blank mistake with a picture, for instance, spilled milk, and then a definition, adjective, in good faith, without malice. You'll be using these cards on the intensive track and the normal track. The essential facts and bonus points are the same as in card type 1. You need to remember the pronunciation of the word. You should remember how to say honest. And if your language uses gender, remember that as well. And you'll get bonus points if you remember how to spell the word, H-O-N-E-S-T, and if you can remember a personal connection. Card type 4. How do you spell this word? At this point, you'll only need this card if you're learning Japanese or Chinese. In extraordinarily rare circumstances, when the spelling of the word is completely and utterly ridiculous, something like floxinosinai hilipilification, the act of describing something as worthless, you might consider making one of these cards. But it's mostly here for the benefit of the Japanese or Chinese learners out there. On this flashcard, you're going to have your example sentence, he was an blank man. The definition, adjective, you don't lie, cheat, or steal, a picture of this sentence, honest Abe, and then a recording, honest. On the back side of this flashcard, your word, honest, H-O-N-E-S-T. The essential fact for this flashcard is just the spelling, do you remember how to spell it? And for bonus points, if you can remember the gender of the word, if relevant, and if you can remember a personal connection, again, if relevant. At this point, you have all the tools you need to learn whatever you want to learn. So go forth and have fun. A glossary of terms and tools. From italki to wugs, levels of processing to verb declensions, we've discussed a lot of potentially new terms and tools in this audiobook. For your convenience, I'm collecting all of them here, along with a brief explanation and, when appropriate, a website address. 625 words. A list of extremely common, concrete English words that are easy to visualize and simple to translate. If you learn them, they'll reinforce the pronunciation work you did in Chapter 3, and they'll provide a solid vocabulary foundation for when you're ready to approach grammar in Chapter 5. Amygdala. A companion organ to the hippocampus that tells it what to keep and what to throw out. It's stimulated by recall tests more than simple reading. Anki, my favorite computerized SRS. It's free, it runs on every platform, and it handles both pictures and audio without a problem. You'll find video tutorials and a download link at fluent-forever.com/chapter-2. Audiobooks. Foreign language audiobooks are one of the best ways to begin reading in your foreign language. You buy the audiobook and the actual book, and then listen to the recording as you read along. The recording will help you move through a large text quickly, and you'll pick up a great deal of pronunciation information at the same time. You can find many audiobooks in French, German, Italian, Portuguese, Russian, and Spanish at Amazon.com. For other languages, you'll have to use your newfound language abilities to search for them on the net. As I find good audiobook sources myself, I'll add to them on my website, fluent-forever.com/language-resources. Backchaining. A tongue exercise whereby you take a long word and say the last phoneme alone, then say the last two phonemes, then the last three, gradually building up to saying the whole word from the beginning to the end. This makes short work of hard-to-pronounce words. Bilingual dictionary. A translating dictionary that lets you look up words in one language and find a translation in another. It's useful for finding words that you're missing in your target language. What's the word for dog in French? For figuring out the meaning of new words, what on earth is an aiguillage? And for finding out grammatical and pronunciation information about a new word. What's the phonetic transcription for aiguillage? What's the gender of aiguillage? What type of verb conjugation does finir, to finish, use? Bilingual effect. A phenomenon in which bilingual individuals outperform monolingual individuals as a direct result of their language knowledge. Learning another language is a kind of strength training for the brain, which results in increased intelligence and more resilient mental health. Broken word. A word that you've learned through reading, but don't pronounce correctly. When you encounter it in spoken language, you're going to think it's a totally new word and get confused. This is one of the reasons why pronunciation training in the beginning can save you time in the long run. Case. I don't specifically discuss Case in this book. I just hint at it in Chapter 5. But since you're looking, Case is just another word for role, as in, what's the role of dog in this sentence? In dog eats cat, cat eats dog, man gives dog a bone, and cat eats dog's food, the word dog keeps switching cases. Comprehensible input. Any foreign language sentences you can basically understand either through the help of context clues, body language, translations, or some combination of the above. If I say, voulez-vous un cookie, and offer you a cookie, you've just taken in comprehensible input, even if you don't speak French. Your brain uses comprehensible input to piece together the grammatical system of a language. Conjugation. Changes in the verb form based upon its context. The proper conjugation of to be is am when it's in the context of help, I blank on fire. Consonant. A phoneme made by blocking the air coming out of your lungs in some manner. P, t, and sh are all consonants. Consonant location. Also known as consonant place, this is one of the three components of any consonant. Location is the difference between a P, made with your lips, and a T, made with your tongue against your alveolar ridge. Consonant type. Also known as consonant manner, this is one of the three components of any consonant. Type is the difference between T, where your tongue blocks the air completely and then pops open, and S, where your tongue blocks the air slightly, allowing air to hiss out. Consonant voicing. This is one of the three components of any consonant. Voicing is the difference between zzz, with your vocal cords buzzing, and s, where your vocal cords are not buzzing. Declension. Basically synonymous with conjugation. Linguists use conjugation to refer to the changing forms of verbs, and declension to refer to the changing forms of everything else, e.g. one dog, two dogs, he, him, his, they, them, their, etc. Declension or conjugation chart. A list of verb conjugations or noun adjective declensions, e.g. I am, you are, he is, we are, they are, etc. DVDs, foreign language TV and film. You can find foreign language DVDs on Netflix and Amazon, but for many languages, you'll need to search for your shows elsewhere on the internet. Find the titles for the shows you're looking for on Wikipedia. And try to find stores that accept international credit cards. Hopefully this will all get easier in time as the world continues to globalize and the internet knocks down barriers. Feedback. The process of taking a test and finding out whether or not you got the right answer. If you get immediate feedback when you review your flashcards by checking the back of every card to see if you answered correctly, you'll improve the effectiveness of your study sessions. Fluent-Forever. My language learning website. It basically contains everything that didn't fit in this book, along with links and tutorials for everything that did fit in this book. You'll find in-depth explanations of everything we discussed here, and quite a bit we haven't yet discussed. Fluent-forever.com. Foreign Service Institute courses. The U.S. Foreign Service Institute, or FSI, has put 41 languages worth of free textbooks and their accompanying recordings online. They're mostly from the 1960s and 1970s and can be a bit dry, but their content is usually excellent. fsi-languages.yojik.eu. Forvo. A giant database of over 2 million recordings in over 300 languages. You can find a native speaker recording of almost any word in almost any language, and if it's not there, you can request a recording, and you'll get it within a few days. It's free. It's wonderful. Use it to learn the pronunciation of your target language. Forvo.com. Frequency Dictionary. A dictionary that contains words in your target language arranged in order of frequency, along with English translations of these words. Often, it will contain example sentences of the words in context. These dictionaries are wonderful tools for expanding your vocabulary efficiently. They're not yet available in every language, but if you're studying a relatively common language, you may be in luck. fluent-forever.com/language-resources. Frequency list. Ranging from the 625 words introduced in Appendix 5 to the free lists available at Wikipedia. These lists of words are arranged in order of frequency and usually don't come with translations, so you need to do that step yourself. Gender. Grammatical gender has little, if anything, to do with actual gender. The original meaning of the word was kind, and that meaning still persists in related words like genre, genus, and generic. Languages use gender to put nouns into groups. Some languages use male and female, some languages use male, female, and neuter, and some use people, body parts, animals, small cute things, thin objects, objects that usually come in pairs, and so on. If you replace the word gender with random, arbitrary group of nouns, it will make a great deal more sense. Google Images, an image search engine run by Google. As of this book's publication, it contains more than 46 billion images from websites in more than 130 languages. There are three different ways to use Google Images, which you can access at the following URLs. Regular Google Images. In its regular form, you can type in any word, cat, hit enter, and you'll see a giant wall of images of that word. Images.google.com. Google Images Basic Version. Every image in Google Images has an associated caption, which is hidden by default. If you turn these captions on, you'll be able to use Google Images to find illustrated examples of every word in your target language. tinyurl.com/basic-image. Google Images Basic Version Translated. The captions under each image in Google Images Basic Version will be in your target language, which you may not understand yet. Fortunately, if you configure your browser just right, you can see side-by-side translations for all of those captions. This makes those captions much easier to use when you're just starting out. fluent-forever.com/chapter-4. Google Translate, the best machine translator on the internet. You can type in a sentence in any one of its 71 languages, and it will translate it into any of its other languages. You can also type in a website address, say a French monolingual dictionary, for instance, and it will translate that whole website. You can use Google Translate in a few ways. 1. If you encounter a strange written passage in your target language, you can type it into Google Translate and get a decent translation back into English. 2. If you're not sure how to write something in your target language, you can write it in English and have it translated badly into your target language. Then you can submit that translation to a language exchange website like Lang 8 and get it corrected by native speakers. 3. You can type in the address of a monolingual French-French dictionary. This will give you much better explanations of your words than a bilingual French-English dictionary. And if you put your mouse cursor over any of those translations, you'll see the original text, which you can use in your flashcards. Translate.google.com. Grammar Book. Just one author's take on the easiest way to introduce you to a language. Grammar books start simple and gradually grow more complex, showing you how to use verbs, nouns, and adjectives, and how to indicate time, hypothetical situations, and so on. They save you a lot of work, since each example has been chosen so that it builds upon previous examples and doesn't overwhelm you. Hebb's Law. Neurons that fire together, wire together. This is how we build memories. If you see a cookie, smell a cookie, and eat a cookie, you will associate those three experiences in the future. Hippocampus, a mental switchboard that helps interconnect neurons and tells you where to find them in the future. Immersion programs, a place where all of your time is spent in the target language, even outside of class. These programs can be expensive, but they're a phenomenal way to learn to speak fluently. International Phonetic Alphabet, IPA. An alphabet in which every letter corresponds to a single sound. If you know it, you can use it to tell you precisely what any foreign word sounds like and even how to form a new foreign sound in your mouth. Italki. A language exchange community with a well-thought-out payment system. You can use Italki to find a professional teacher or an untrained tutor in your target language and work with him or her through email or video chat for extremely low prices. There are free options on the site which can help you find language exchange partners, but I mostly recommend Italki for its paid services. italki.com. Lang 8, a free language exchange community devoted to providing writing corrections. You sign up, submit some writing, correct someone else's writing, and get a correction of your own, usually in less than a day. lang-8.com. Language exchange. A language learning arrangement between you and a speaker of your target language. You'll meet up, typically via Skype video chat, and talk for a predetermined time in your language and for the same amount of time in your partner's language. language exchange websites. Websites that are designed to help you find language exchange partners. LiveMocha.com, LiveMocha.com, Busuu.com, BUSUU.com, MyLanguageExchange.com, italki.com, and language-exchanges.org are some of the better-known language exchange websites.